For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey, it's Rhett Matthew from the Cannon Fire Podcast, and I want to tell you about a great new sponsor. I tell you this, man, I love betting my friends, all things sports. I'll bet them on anything. Different games, player props, all of that is what the Cut app allows me to do. Cut, K-U-T-T, is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus U.S. states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments accepted, no need for Venmo. So what are we going to be betting on this week? NBA basketball is in full swing after the All-Star break. NHL has been making us a lot of money. Use our promo code BELEAVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V, BUCKS, B-U-C-S, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELEAVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V, B-U-C-S. Cut, put your money where your mouth is.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pull up, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal.
Down, 18, dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon, goes up to the
head, and it's on, and the 30, Derek Brooks 30, up to the 29, he's gone, Derek Brooks all the way, there it is, the dagger's in, we're going to win the Super Bowl,
and there the cannons go, fire them, keep on firing them.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have officially invested in Baker Mayfield as their quarterback of the future. We are live here today on YouTube with another episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast, talking about the latest red and pewter headlines. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and quarterback Baker Mayfield have agreed to a three-year deal for $100 million in total and $50 million guaranteed. Mayfield is set to make $30 million guaranteed in 2024, $30 million with $20 million guaranteed in 2025, and $40 million in 2026, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. There is $5 million per year in incentives, bringing up the max value of the contract to $115 million. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, as always, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. Evan, this news wraps up a whirlwind of a week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers regarding getting things done in free agency, and the legal tampering period doesn't even begin until tomorrow. How are you feeling about this deal and everything else Jason Light and the Bucs were able to accomplish this week?
Yeah, I mean, so far they haven't done anything that's been shocking, right? We thought Mike Evans was going to be back. We pretty much all assumed Antoine Winfield was going to be back in some capacity, right? Whether it was a long-term deal or the franchise tag, ended up being the franchise tag. But we'll talk about it a little bit later. We're going to spend the first part of this show talking just about Baker, but then we'll get into the other guys and what could be next for Tampa Bay a little bit later. But and then obviously, you know, even though there were some rumblings, right, of Minnesota or Atlanta or New England, it still felt like all along this was going to be Baker Mayfield's spot, right? And then you heard the things about, well, Baker's not really interested in the Patriots, the Falcons. Are they going to get Kirk? Are they going to go after Fields? You know, there's a lot of moving parts there. It just always felt like a return to Tampa was most likely. And honestly, the contract's pretty much how I expected it. I thought maybe there was a chance they would do a four-year deal to try and get the cap hit down a little bit, spread it out, but they elected to do a three-year deal. Like I said, it was going to be in that $30 to $35 million range. It ends up being $33 per season. And now, an important distinction, and I've seen some people say this, it's not likely to be his cap number, okay? Like, it is not $30 million off the Buccaneers cap. It's likely probably going to be $10 million $8 million, maybe somewhere around that range this year. But what I do like about it is basically it's a 2-year deal. It's a 2-year $60 million deal, essentially, because there is an out after that second year. And guys like Greg Allman, Josh Capo, especially Josh Capo, you know, contract guru over there at Pewter Report, he's really broken it down a good bit there. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense to where they can end up, you know, cutting Mayfield if things don't go right. Because, again, like, Baker Mayfield was good last season, right? But the reason he ended up in Tampa Bay on a 1-year, $4 million deal was because he's been inconsistent from time to time. And I do think this is just a little bit of, like, you know, protection, I guess you could say, against that. So, yeah, I do think it was a good, it's a fair deal for both sides. Baker gets what he wants, which is, you know, more stability, right? More financial stability, more, you know, because you're under contract now. I think the Buccaneers honestly get what they like because, one, they're not tied to him for 4, 5, 6 years, right? And also, like, there is a couple of outs there. So there is a lot of things here. And Josh Capo had a tweet here. Still a lot of conjecture. But if they do a minimum base with the rest of the $30 million as a prorated bonus, again, this is going to be gibberish to a lot of people. I don't completely understand all of it either. But and 2 void years, it could be. $6.9 million could be his cap hit in 2024. That would jump to $35.7 million next year and $45.7 million in 2026. 2027, he would have a dead cap number of $11.55 million, but he is locked in to probably most likely 2024 and 2025. But Capo also notes that they'd be able to get out of it in 2026, saving $28.45 million and only having $17 million in dead cap. So there is basically an option there. And they can, and honestly, I don't know how they can, but Brad Spielberger of PFF has said that if things go, like, really poorly, they can actually somehow get out of it after year one. Like, if things, like, I don't know how, like, what that would be like, but yeah, to me, it's a fair deal for both sides. The Buccaneers, they do take a gamble, but it's not a all in if this fails, we're screwed type gamble. And then for Baker Mayfield, he obviously, you know, finds a home.
Yeah, the last report we got was earlier this week from Pewter Report's Scott Reynolds talking about how the Bucs and Baker weren't necessarily close on a new deal. Some time goes by, the negotiation period continues. That's important to remember as well, that I think a lot of people were freaked out hearing that the Bucs and Baker Mayfield were not necessarily close on a new contract. A lot of people speculated he was looking for north of $40 million. It's important to mention, or it's important to remember that was the first step in the negotiation process, and that's ultimately his agent doing an agent's job, trying, yes, to go get his client the most amount of money. And another thing to consider when we look at this deal, a lot of people were concerned about how much the Bucs were going to be committing financially to Baker Mayfield. $50 million guaranteed is nothing to sneeze at, but a good breakdown here from Christian Williams. 17th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. People are acting like this is a bad deal, seemingly don't understand the cost of a more than capable starting quarterback. And this is a great conversation to get into here. Also, great time to remind you guys that phones are on the Cut Hotline, 305-224-1968. The meeting ID for this week on the screen, 867-574-3-4744. Back to Baker Mayfield, 17th highest paid quarterback in the league. He will more than likely be the 20th highest paid after Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jordan Love are extended. I think this is a great deal for both parties here, referring to Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also have to show some love to our buddy Al Bundy in chat. I don't know if he's here currently, but he said before, and I may have to go back and find it, he said before, he is expecting something right around $33 million a year with an out after 2 seasons. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you were aware of that. But I guess we can take some credit for how good of a prediction our listeners are giving out in the chat room, right?
Yeah, of course. If you're listening to the Campfire Podcast, you're a knowledgeable football fan anyway.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, it's a fair deal to me. And like you've mentioned, 17th highest paid quarterback. Look, you don't have to like the market, right? Like the number, you don't have to like it. I get it, right? At the same time, though, you have to understand that if you're a quality quarterback in the NFL nowadays, that's just how it's going to be. Like that is just how it is going to be. Like, people complained about, when the Bucs re-signed Donovan Smith, how much money they re-signed for. Left tackles, that's just how it's going to be for left tackles. Even if they're like somewhat mediocre, that's just how it's going to be. It's just the market's going to dictate that. And pass rushers, same deal. Like, I think left tackles, quarterbacks, and pass rushers, those are the three groups where it's just, that's going to be your big money. And it's always going to be that way. And the numbers may look scary, but honestly, it also matters in the details, right? The details matter, especially in this deal. Because like I said, it is essentially a 2-year deal. Worth $60 million. So I think it is fair. I am kind of glad they didn't go with the fourth year, because I don't think it would have, like, if it would have got the number down into the 20s, maybe I would have done the fourth year, but I don't think it was gonna do that. So like, if the difference is 33 or 30 million, I might as well just do the 3 year. But also, Baker earned it. Like he definitely did. There was times in the season where he didn't look good, and it's important to bounce back, and he did. Then he played really well in the playoffs. I know I had a couple of turnovers in that Detroit game, but overall played decent. And I think now, the focus is going to be to bring back, some more pieces. And like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, look, he gambled on himself. The Bucks gambled on him. And it paid off, I think, for both sides. So, we mentioned this before the season, in the preseason, this was it. Like, this was Baker's final shot. There was no tomorrow for Baker Mayfield if Tampa didn't work out. Sure, he would have went on to be a backup quarterback somewhere, right? Like, would have been the Mac Jones treatment. It was Jacksonville Jaguar and Mac Jones. That just sounds weird to say that too.
Yeah, it does.
But it is also weird. Well, I mean, I guess he didn't really have a choice, but like, he is like a backup now. Like, it's not even like I figured, okay, they might look to send him to a team that, like, it could be a competition. No, like, you're a backup. But that's what Baker Mayfield would have been had Tampa Bay not worked out. Right now, the Bucs would be looking for a new quarterback. They would be, who knows? Would they be in the Russell Wilson talks? Would they be in the Kirk Cousins talks? Would they be in the Justin Fields trade talks? Or would they, honestly, they probably would be in the quarterback draft talk, because if Baker didn't work out, it's most likely that they would have a top 12 pick, probably. And Baker took a gamble because, like I said, for being a starter, this was it, and he knocked it out of the park. It was a big swing by both the Bucs and Baker, and he knocked it out of the park. So hopefully, he can be even better in 2024. It does suck that Dave Canales won't be here, so there is not. I mean, Liam Cohen, there's some continuity there, but it's not the same, right? But hopefully, they can get together and make some magic happen, and get some more positive vibes, positive seasons out of Baker Mayfield. And who knows? Like, I mean, it's a 3-year deal now, but I don't, if the Bucks feel confident, okay, let's say year one goes well, let's say year two goes well, I don't think he's gonna play on that third year, being an expiring contract. I really don't. I think they would get another maybe 2 or 3 year extension in that. So I do think that it would either be after that second year, he's either going to get cut or he's going to get extended. I think it's going to be one of those two things for Baker Mayfield with the Buccaneers, but we'll wait and see. That's a while down the line, but for now, that it definitely, like I said, it's fair. It's just a word I have to use. Fair to the market, fair to the Bucs, fair to Mayfield. I don't think they overpaid. I think they paid right at value. Now, do I think they got an absolute steal? No, I don't necessarily think that. If the number would have been in the 20s, even high 20s, maybe. Or if there was like a clear cut out after year one, then maybe. But to me, I think it is a deal that works for both sides. And that's ultimately why they got a deal done. And it's around where a lot of us, just like our listeners, it's around where they thought, which, by the way, our listeners, 90 people in the chat right now, my phone is saying. So appreciate all you for tuning in. Really, really do. And we're covering it as best we can here. And funny enough, we are doing a podcast, but we had actually planned to do a podcast earlier. This was planned like this morning that we were doing this around 8 o'clock, and we did not expect Baker Mayfield to sign. So this was just going to be an update, basically talking to you guys about that. But now we have a lot more to talk about, obviously. So yeah, fair deal for both sides. And like I said, for Baker Mayfield, takes a little bit more pressure off of him too, I think. Playing on a 1 year deal, especially a prove a deal like he did, there is a lot of pressure there to perform. And now I think you can play a little bit looser, and you're in a more familiar spot now in Tampa.
A year ago this month, the Bucs signed Baker Mayfield to a 1 year contract with a base salary of $4 million in the 2023 season. Baker's 28 touchdowns during the regular season ranked seventh in the NFL and was a career best for him. His 2.8 touchdown interception ratio tied with 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy for ninth in the league. His 4,044 passing yards also ranked ninth and the most in a single season for Mayfield's career. He also posted a career best 64.3 completion percentage. In the wild card round of the playoffs, Mayfield threw for 337 yards, three touchdowns, and a 32-9 rout of the Philadelphia Eagles. The following week in the divisional round, Baker threw for 349 passing yards, three touchdowns and two interceptions, and a 31-23 loss in Detroit. Mayfield's 106.3 passer rating in those two playoff games was the highest of any Buccaneers quarterback in postseason history. Let me read that to you again. You did not hear that incorrectly. Baker Mayfield's 106.3 passer rating in those two playoff games was the highest of any Buccaneers quarterback in postseason history. His 3.0 postseason touchdown interception ratio also matched that of Tom Brady during his Buccaneers tenure. I'm happy for Baker. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think consistency for this franchise is important. I said this when they re-signed Mike Evans. It's important to have consistent figures and consistent guys on your roster. One, that you can bring back, but two, that want to be here. Baker Mayfield talked about how important it is to have a chance to come back, to have a chance to basically run it back another year with not the exact same system, it's a new offensive coordinator, but the closest thing he has had to continuity in the NFL in a very, very long time. Like you said, I also think the pressure of playing on a one-year deal, he's not going to feel that next season. So we're going to see hopefully a little more of a composed Baker Mayfield, but at the same time, you hope that he can show up in big moments like he was able to do last season, because sometimes, at least in Tampa Bay, we do have a history of some guys getting paid those big contracts and then maybe not playing up to expectations.
There's a difference though. That happens, right? Okay. It could just be a year where Baker played well and then he doesn't play well again. But to me, there's two different things. It's that, right? It's just, you get paid and then you just sort of like Doug Martin almost, right? Yeah. Doug Martin had a good year, got paid. Then it just was never the same.
Okay? It's exactly who popped into my head.
But then you have the Chris Bakers of the world where it's like you don't really care. And to me, Baker doesn't strike me as that. Baker strikes me as more like the Doug Martin, like he cares. Just Doug Martin just struggled. So if Baker Mayfield struggles, it's not because he doesn't care. It's not because the effort isn't there. It just didn't work out. So hopefully it does work out. But to me, yeah, Baker Mayfield doesn't strike me as a guy who's gonna, and it's clear when you watch on Sundays, it's clear he's not a guy that's going to do that. He's a guy that a team rallies around and everything like that. So, it is, like I said, it's a positive news right now, and we'll just see how it ages, obviously. It's always tough to evaluate contracts right now because, like, okay, like you could be looking at this and be like, yeah, it's fine now. But like a year from now, you could be like, oh, this is a terrible contract. Or you could be going, man, that's a steal. Like you, just like you said, like after Tua signs his deal, after Trevor Lawrence signs his deal, Jordan Love signs their deal, like he's gonna be down the list even more. And basically, after every new QB that signs a deal, Baker Mayfield's gonna keep getting pushed down the list. So I do think that you know, like I say, it just doesn't strike me as a guy where if it doesn't work out, it's not because of lack of trying. It happens. So hopefully it does. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Baker's agent Tom Mills said in a statement to ESPN after his client was waived by the Panthers, quote, "He never complained and he always believed in himself. This contract is a result of that attitude as well as his ability. He and his wife Emily and I are grateful to the Bucks for giving him the opportunity to continue his career." In addition to his on-field efforts this season, Baker Mayfield and his wife established the Baker and Emily Mayfield Foundation to Tampa to, quote, "level the playing field for disadvantaged children and families with events supporting Early Learning Coalition of Hillsborough County and the Boys and Girls Club of Tampa Bay." I'm excited. I'm excited that we have our answer at quarterback. You know, going into last season, we talked about the quarterback competition. We also talked later about how legitimate that quarterback competition was. You know, we kind of knew since the beginning of the 2023 season it was going to be Baker, but it took all the way down to the end of the final game, to the end of the final week of the Bucs season for everyone to be like, all right, let's collectively buy in and make this our guy. There's still a lot of people who don't want Baker Mayfield to be the guy. And honestly, those are the people I want to hear from. 305-224-1968. The meeting ID is on your screen. And Evan, I got to call you out. I have heard you say before that, you know, you like Baker Mayfield. You think he's a good quarterback. You think he's decent. You're happy the Bucks got their guy, seemingly, for the next couple of years here. But How comfortable do you feel with the direction the Bucks are headed in? You know, we knew that the priorities coming into this offseason were going to be re-signing their guys. And I think the biggest wild card in how they go about doing that was the acquisition of Baker Mayfield. Because if they get everyone back and then they're left without a quarterback, then obviously it's almost like you go back to, you know, you go back to the drawing board and you got to figure out what to do, whether it's getting your guy in free agency, trading for a guy, or potentially drafting a guy. Luckily, I don't think the Bucks are going to be in any of those situations. So with the acquisition of Baker Mayfield, what are your thoughts on basically the blueprint the Bucks have now set up for themselves, bringing back Mike Evans, bringing back Antoine Winfield Jr., bringing back Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, it honestly is. It's tough to give a complete answer because, you know, I want to see, you know, it's sort of like an ask me in 3 weeks type deal, you know, because I want to see like, okay, but what else are you going to do? Right. Like, it's important to re-sign Mike Evans. It's important to bring back Antoine Winfield Jr. And of course, you know, if you bring back all those guys, let's say you bring back Levante David, Chase McLaughlin too, but you don't bring back Baker Mayfield and you just have this giant hole at the most important position in football, well, then does it really matter that you brought back everybody else, right? Probably not. So I do want to see what else they do. To me, about, you know, when I'm talking about like the direction of the team and how I feel about it. Obviously, would feel much worse had the Buccaneers not re-signed any of these guys, right? Or even like one of them would feel much worse. So while Baker Mayfield wasn't my top priority to re-sign, he still was one of them because to me, you know, he had earned another look in Tampa. I think he proved that in the playoffs. I mean, geez, that's that you said about the passer rating thing. You know, it's this is a franchise that had Tom Brady as their quarterback, you know, and to have Baker Mayfield hold that, you know, that sort of distinction is pretty incredible. So to me, it's kind of a wait and see type thing. I wish I could give you a straight answer right now. But maybe in about, you know, 2-3 weeks, you can ask me that again and I can give you a better answer. You know, obviously still in 2-3 weeks, we won't have all the answers because there's still going to be the draft. And hey, the Bucks can still make acquisitions and stuff like that and signings and everything. And, you know, once the legal tampering period starts at noon tomorrow, it's sort of game on. So, you can make sort of any sort of acquisition. I did see somebody in the chat say that they think that, they could, potentially be a little bit more active in free agency. They just had this feeling. It was Corey Fleming. So to me, okay, active, maybe, you know. However, I don't know if that means signing some big money guys, you know, signing, being in the Danielle Hunter thing or Bryce Huff. I know he's a hot name right now. There's a lot of teams that really like him. I don't really know if it's that market, but if you mean in terms of active being not signing like one dude and then be like, okay, like we're done, like signing like 3, 4, 5 guys, I could see it. I'm not saying that they're all going to be a big time guys, but I could see that. So again, I don't really want to cop out the answer here. It's just tough for me to answer that, but I feel a lot better about the direction now than it had, you know, if Mike Evans wasn't brought back, or Antoine Winfield wasn't brought back, or even, you know, Baker Mayfield wasn't brought back. So I feel a lot better about the direction of the team currently.
Another update from last week. We haven't talked about it on the pod.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cast. There was a video uploaded over on the YouTube channel, some more exclusive content for you guys, just more incentive to go check out the video portion of what we do. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers placed the franchise tag on safety Antoine Winfield Jr. on Tuesday. Winfield Jr.'s tag is set at $17.123 million for 2024. The 25-year-old defensive back now has until mid-July to agree to a long-term deal and avoid playing on the franchise tag. He and the Bucs could also work out a modified one-year contract before he signs the tender, something seen last season with running back Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. Now, of course, Antoine Winfield was kind of one of the first dominoes to fall for the Bucs, and then it was, you know, the news was often after that. We got an update on Mike Evans, and then of course now you hear everything about Baker Mayfield. The Bucs still have a couple of guys on their list, but Antoine Winfield Jr., another guy that we have told you since the beginning of the offseason, like, he's not going anywhere. And it's important to mention as well, the Bucs still have plenty of time to try and figure out a deal for him and try and affect that cap hit for 2024, because you definitely don't want it to be $17.123 million.
No, you don't. And I do expect them to get a deal done. And I don't know when it's going to be. Obviously, in an ideal world, it's sooner rather than later, so the Bucs can save that cap space and use it, right? But I don't expect Antoine Winfield to go into 2024 playing on the franchise tag. So I would expect to get that deal done. Obviously, other moves can be made. And look, somebody actually was asking me a little bit before the show, like, how much cap space do the Bucs have right now? And I answered, I'm like, yeah, it's tough right now, because when you're before the offseason really gets into full swing, you can tell much easier. But when moves start happening, and sometimes sites update it, sometimes they don't. So it's like in flux, right? Like right now, we don't know exactly what Baker Mayfield's cap number in 2024 is going to be. So we don't know exactly how much cap space the Buccaneers have. I believe over the cap has them at like a little over $14 million right now. That's including Winfield's, including Evans, but not including Baker's number. So, and that's before any other cuts. You know, you got, I know somebody in the chat mentioned, I think, you know, Russell Gage is a guy who is going to be cut at probably at some point this week, this coming week. So wouldn't shock me there. And then they, you know, they can restructure Vita Vea, save like $10 million. They can restructure Jamel Dean. They can, if they really wanted to, they can restructure Chris Godwin. They could do, obviously, like you said, a long-term deal with Antoine Winfield will bring that number down. They can do a deal with Tristan Wirfs to bring his number down. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to find a way to make, they can create probably close to $35, $40 million pretty easily. So, it wouldn't shock me if they did that. I'm not saying they're going to do every single one of those moves, but it's something that they can do. So when you're looking at the cap and sort of wondering about the cap, I just sort of advise you to just kind of take it with a grain of salt this time of year. Like, because at the end of the day, like, it just, there's a lot of moving parts and it's all fluid, right? It's a really fluid situation. And look, Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davis, and Jason Light, John Spicek, those guys know where their cap's at, right? Like, they know where it is right now and where it's going to be in freaking a week. So, like, they know what's going on. And like I said, I'm going to try and answer the questions the best I can, right, when you ask me how much cap space they have. But it is complicated this time of year. So, we'll see. We'll see what Baker Mayfield's cap hit is going to be. It is not going to be $30 million. It's not going to be. So it's going to be less than that. And we'll see. You know, hopefully they're able to get the long-term deal done with Winfield, because it does two things. It lowers the cap for this year, and it ensures that one of your best defensive players, arguably the best player on your defense — I don't think you can argue that he was the best player on our defense in 2023. Like, you know, overall talent, you could argue maybe he's not the best player on the defense. But 2023, he was the Bucs' best defender by far. So, you know, it also ensures that he's going to be in Tampa long term, and that's a good thing. So I think, you know, a long term deal would definitely benefit both sides, and I expect that number to be pretty big. But again, the Bucs will actually be saving money by doing it there. So,
when you talk about what's left to do in free agency, seems like a foregone conclusion. The Bucs are going to shift their focus to some of the guys they have left. All-star kicker Chase McLaughlin, let's not forget, one of the most successful seasons as a kicker in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chase McLaughlin, man. Chase Money McLaughlin is going to be getting paid here pretty soon. Levante David also on that list. And I guess you got to lump Tristan Wirfs into the conversation as well, because we've heard from Jason Light that they've begun early discussions about what a contract
that's going to get done. That is going to get done. And again, it's something like the Winfield thing. You hope it gets done sooner rather than later, because if it gets done in the summer, okay, you freed up this cap space, but for what? To sign the veterans who haven't signed on the team yet? Like, you'd like to have that cap space now. So more moves are coming. The Buccaneers are not going to enter free agency with $5 million cap space, so more moves are coming.
Right, so Chase McLaughlin, Levante David at the linebacker position. We can kind of leave those positions out of this conversation, but when you do look ahead to what the Bucs are going to make a priority here, they re-sign their guys. After they do that, there's still a couple holes left. We've talked about the interior offensive line. We've talked about the trenches, the departure of Shaq Barrett, potentially looking at an outside linebacker, whether it's through the draft or through free agency. You know, strong safety, I think getting an upgrade there potentially, whether it's a reunion with Jordan Whitehead, which, oh God, I'm crossing my fingers, but I don't know if they have the money to pull that off. You know, there was a lot of safety news this week. We can dive into that as well, with guys who have been victims of these big safety deals now becoming cap casualties for teams. We can talk about that as well, but when you look at where the Bucs are going to shift their focus beyond bringing back their own guys, what do you think becomes the number one priority for them in free agency? I think more so than the draft here, or does all these moves affect the draft as well?
Yeah. One note, because you mentioned the Whitehead thing, you mentioned the money. And like, I saw a lot of people, they're like, oh, he's posting Bucs highlights. And then like 15 minutes later, he was posting highlights from college and highlights from the Jets. So I'm like, it doesn't mean anything.
Anytime it's a former player posting Bucs stuff, it's going to be rose colored glasses. But what that showed me also was just how active the Bucs fan base on Twitter, because he didn't get any engagement on those other clips, just the Bucs highlights.
And then also, like, people were like seeing the D Delaney tweet, and he's like, oh, OG coming back or whatever. Yeah, we don't know. But I do want
to
make
one $5 super chat from our buddy Joel L. Reakin.
Hey, appreciate it. Clap it up.
Let's go. Mike, hold on.
Appreciate
we got it. Oh, that's the wrong
one. Wow, that is
it's not the one that I wanted to play. Mike with a little shake and bake. Let's get cooking. Go Bucs. Thank you, Joel. I always feel terrible.
I can now have a Frosty tonight. So thank you.
There you go, thank man. You, we appreciate your donation. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. About the Whitehead thing, and as far as price, you know, I had even said I didn't really think Whitehead was going to be, you know, really realistic because of the price. However, man, I've never seen the safety market. Like, I mean, I think every safety in the NFL is available. like it has the list is outstanding. I mean, in the past few days, you got Jordan Poyer, Justin Simmons, Marcus May. All these guys are getting released. I mean, Kevin Byard got released. He did get picked up by the Bears today. But what that's going to do, see, because like I've been mentioning this. I'm like, if I'm a free agent, right? If I was a Jordan Whitehead who was scheduled to be a free agent, and I'm seeing all these safeties get cut, angry, because I'm like, are you serious? Because what that does is it's going to flood the market, and all those guys are not going to be able to get the deals they want because there's going to be so many other options for teams to go to. So I actually think if the Bucks wanted Jordan Whitehead, and I don't know that they do, I don't know if Jordan Whitehead wants to come back to Tampa. I don't know if the Bucks want Jordan Whitehead back in Tampa. I don't know where things stand there. But I actually think that it would be a little bit cheaper than I initially thought. So, and I think, like I said, the safety market being so robust is part of that reason. There's just so many good safeties, and it's actually going to hurt the market in the long run, I think.
Well, regardless of how this ends up shaking out, as we look at the Buccaneers' approach to free agency, they're ready to run it back. They're getting their guys. They still have some work to do, but I think the biggest hurdles are behind them. The biggest hurdles being, in any given order, I guess, Antoine Winfield probably number one. Mike Evans number two.
Well, I would say as far as hurdle, Mike Evans is probably the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
Mike, out of those three, Mike Evans felt like, you can be honest, like Mike Evans felt like the one where if he's going to go play for another team, it's probably Mike Evans.
Yeah, because the tag was always a possibility for Winfield. Like, we talked about that the entire season. So for Mike Evans, for him to come back on the deal that he has, good value for the Bucks, good value for him getting a high dollar contract, guaranteed money. So you love to see it. But I like the team the Bucks are building. I like the core group of players we have right now.
Same team right now.
Yeah, I know. It is the same team, but I think it's important to also kind of talk about how far the Bucks have come with how they were building teams in the past. You know, like you were going out and you were talking about a free agency where the acquisition of DeSean Jackson and Chris Baker was going to save your football team. And now every single season, the Bucks have made it a priority to address the positions of need, but bring back their guys. Like, they have guys now who are such a huge asset to this team that you cannot possibly let them walk anywhere else. You know, guys like Vita Vea being long-term deals. Guys like Tristan Wirfs potentially getting a long-term deal. Devin White didn't work out. We're going to have to figure out what we have in KJ Britt. Maybe they go and make some other moves regarding linebackers between the draft and free agency. We will find out. But you've got Lavonte David, who is a franchise guy. You've got Mike Evans, who is a franchise guy. You've got franchise guys all over this roster. And here we are talking about the extension for Baker Mayfield. He has the potential, if this works out, if this deal ultimately works out the way we all hope it can, he has the potential to be the next franchise guy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that's huge, not only for the Bucs, but obviously Baker Mayfield, when we talk about everything he's been through so far in his NFL career.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's just the answer, you know, the Bucks were looking for. And look, the Bucks are very fortunate. I mean, to go from Tom Brady to still quality QB play, not the same level, obviously. And nobody's going to be comparing Baker Mayfield to Tom Brady. Quite frankly, that's not fair. It didn't matter who was going to walk through that door for the Bucks in 2023. They weren't going to be Tom Brady, right? What Tom Brady meant for this organization and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just remembered I didn't actually answer your original question because I went on the tangent about the safety market and Jordan Whitehead. You asked about, you know, what positions maybe they look for. I think maybe safety. Like I said, there's a lot of them out there. I think either guard or center is going to be a priority for them, maybe in free agency. I don't think both, but guys like Aaron Brewer, Brian Allen, who Brian Allen also has experience with Liam Cohen, so look out for him. Guys like that, I think, could be options. And then maybe like some complimentary pieces, tight end. There's been a couple of tight ends that have been released. You know, I think the Bucs could look for some depth there, maybe a running back to complement Rashad White. I do think there's a good chance Chase Edmonds is probably back in the fold at some point, but if they decide to add another veteran there, there's a couple of guys there. Even wide receiver, there's a couple of guys. So I do think that One, I think they're going to look to a lot of these places for both the draft and free agency. But I also think that they're going to try and fill needs with value deals, right? I don't think they're going to be in, like I mentioned, the Bryce Huff and the Jonathan Greenard, and but maybe a guy like a Josh Uche, maybe, you know, from New England, who had a really good year last year in 2022, but 2023 wasn't so good. Maybe take a chance on him, trying to find maybe that next Shaq Barrett, and maybe not exactly that production, but something similar, right? Taking a 1 year flyer on a guy and it really works out. So I do think that that could be the focus for their free agency, just that value. I wouldn't expect many big deals, but you never know. You do never know, but we will see. And I think we're going to get some answers this week, and then definitely, you know, most of our answers within the next 2 weeks or so. But before we officially, you know, wrap up and everything, I do want to shout out Jason Light, because he's done a phenomenal job again of bringing back all these guys and on deals that make sense and help the team, but also reward the player. And I still don't think Bucks fans appreciate him, sure, but like, this guy's just not getting enough credit. To me, he's a top five general manager in the NFL. I don't have a list in front of me. I'd have to think about it. But, like, you know, he's been that for a little bit. And it's unfortunate that he got discredited for a lot of the success the Bucks had, because Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette and, you know, all these guys were there. It's a shame that that got discounted, right? Because why did Tom Brady come to Tampa Bay? Because the Bucks, he looked at it and he thought the Bucks had a roster ready to go. That roster was built by Jason Light. So his drafts, I mean, not every pick is going to be a hit. Obviously, it's not going to happen. No GM is going to bat 1,000. Honestly, if your GM bats 500, like, that's fantastic. The drafts, the free agency, the value that he's been getting, him being able to re-sign all these guys, right? I mean, being able to re-sign Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield and bring back Antoine Winfield Jr. and, you know, just to be able to do these things consistently year in and year out, he definitely deserves his flowers. And I mean, yeah, and just like, you know, the chat, Dub in the chat says, you know, Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davison, John Spytek, everybody in that front office, they deserve huge props. And the Bucks are very, very fortunate to have such a good front office, because, man, it's, you know, there's not a lot of teams have an elite front office, and the Bucks do.
It's a sole reason. It's the sole reason I think the Bucks are still competitive. You know, nobody expected the Bucks to win a playoff game last year, especially in the fashion that they did. When they signed Baker Mayfield to a one-year, $4 million base contract, a lot of people said, all right, well, let's watch Baker crash and burn for another team and ultimately end up a free agent yet again. But it doesn't work out that way. And regarding Jason Light getting his flowers, I agree with everything you said. But unfortunately, it's the Tampa effect. It's, you know, he is moving the earth in the clouds to bring these guys back and keep the Buccaneers a competitive football team. Joel Elrican with another $5 super chat brings up a great point. He says
he wants me to get two Frosties.
Yeah, there you go. The fact that Jason Light has not won GM of the Year is criminal. The man has been building this winning product for over a decade. Absolutely. He deserves all the credit in the world. And unfortunately, it's the Tampa effect. You know, most recently we saw it with Mike Evans. It took Mike Evans 10 straight seasons of 1,000-plus yards, becoming the first player in NFL history to start his career doing that. It took him that long to get the respect and recognition he finally deserves. Like, even when he was playing with Tom Brady, people were hesitant to give him the respect and the proper praise, but he has staked his claim as one of the most consistent wide receivers in NFL history, and he did it in a Bucs uniform, and now people have no choice but to look at what he's been able to do, because you saw how much of a hot commodity Mike Evans was this offseason for seemingly the first time in his entire career.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what. It actually is crazy, though, that Jason Light has officially been with the Buccaneers for over 10 years now. He was hired, I just wanted to double check it, he was hired on January 21st, 2014. And that's rare. You know, that's rare to have an executive here that long. And, don't really think. I mean, obviously, the time will come because no person lasts in their position forever. But like, don't think it's going to be anytime soon that like he's going to be leaving Tampa. So he's going to be here at least the next 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. So an amazing run that he's had, and really, really building the resume that gets you into the Bucks Ring of Honor. I mean, really is. If the Bucks, I mean, they need to have a little bit more success, I think, obviously, because, you know, like there was a lot of losing, right? Like 2014 to 2019, they didn't make the playoffs. They had one winning season. Like there was a lot of losing. So like, yeah, he needs to do a little bit more winning, but like this is the type of thing, getting that Super Bowl, signing Tom Brady, being to the playoffs, you know, 4 straight seasons, replacing Tom Brady and still making it further than he did the year before with Tom Brady, being able to find value in free agency, being able to draft Hall of Fame players like Mike Evans, you know, being able to retain Levante David and everybody like that, to me, that's the type of thing that gets you into the Ring of Honor in 20 years. So, you know, who knows where it's going to end up, but just shout out to Jason Light. Shout out to that entire front office. They deserve a ton of credit.
Yeah, setting the standard for what it means to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. There was an article I read just recently, and this is, I mean, this is way back in the day. This is, you know, 1984. This was the Bo Jackson incident. But it was a team-building exercise basically hatched up from the mind of Hugh Culverhouse. When Bo Jackson was telling the Bucks he did not want to be here, Culverhouse kind of laughed it off because he's like, this kid's not going to turn down a shot at the NFL to go play baseball, which is exactly what happened because of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But there was like fishing trips, there were team dinners organized on behalf of Hugh Culverhouse. And this is a quote that I read, and it was from linebacker Scott Brantley, who was playing for the Bucks, who was a notable linebacker at the time. They were on a fishing trip. They were talking to Bo Jackson, and Bo told Scott, he's like, listen, no matter what happens, I'm not coming here. I'm not going to play here. And Scott, his response was, listen, we'd love to have you, but you don't want to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. This team is an effing joke. This was 30 years ago. I'm sorry, 40 years ago. This was 1984. This is 4 decades ago. And that's the reputation the Bucks had. For the first 15 years of their existence, they were a joke. And I think, you know, we've had some rough patches here and there. Obviously, we've had a lot of losing between...
It's mostly been rough patches.
Yeah, it's so mostly been rough patches. So you can make that argument during a lot of the rough patches the Bucks have had. The 2010s were brutal, man. That 2010 season was fun, and then everything after that was awful. It was a decade straight of just pain and suffering. But here we are. Jason Light came in 2014, and it took a while, took half a decade, but they saw it through. And I think, you know, obviously bringing in Tom Brady, having the run that they did, putting that team together, bringing in some experienced veterans, and bringing in a proven winner like Tom Brady went such a long way. But Jason Light has obviously had a huge hand in continuing that culture since the departure of Tom Brady, and I think that is just so important.
Yeah, really, really quick. Al yep. Bundy mentions in the chat, Brett Veach and Howie Roseman are significantly better than Jason Light, though, just to be honest. That's fine. Like, you can have that opinion, but I said he was a top five general manager, right? Brett Veach and Howie Roseman are in the mouths of the media always.
Yeah.
How many is Jason Light? That's what the argument we're making here. Right, is that Jason Light isn't being talked about enough. And Joel Rican actually makes a good point in the chat as well. I was going to actually say this too. Like, shout like to the Glazers. Like, the Glazers deserve some credit too. They could have very easily have fired Jason Light and in 20, what, at right after Cutter, basically, yeah. Right? And honestly, I honestly think if Jason Light hadn't convinced them that he thought he could get Bruce Arians, I think he might have been fired. But obviously, you know, the Glazers showed patience with Jason Light, and their patience has paid off. So shout out to Jason Light, getting the Baker Mayfield deal done, getting the Mike Evans deal done, and before the legal tampering period even opens up. So we'll see what the Buccaneers have in store for the rest of this week and the rest of the offseason. It's going to be pretty busy, though.
One last update for you. We've been trying to end the show for like 15 minutes, but I just wanted to follow up on a report. We had done a show when the news broke about Mike Evans' deal earlier this week, and we had reported that it was a two-year deal worth about $26 million a year, $35 million guaranteed. It is not quite that simple. We have got a better idea of what Mike Evans is going to be counting against the books for the Buccaneers in 2024 and beyond. This comes from Aaron Wilson, NFL. It is a mega thread, so bear with me, but it should have all the information you desire. Breaking down Bucs Mike Evans' $52 million max value deal, it is a base value $41 million with $35 million guaranteed. 80% of base value is guaranteed. $21.79 million roster bonus for 2024 for accounting purposes instead of a signing bonus. $1.21 million fully guaranteed for 2024 base salary for $23 million guaranteed fully in 2024 total comp. He laid that out kind of weird, but you're following me here. All right.
Yes.
Mike Evans, $18 million salary in 2025. It can be a $21 million salary with likely to be earned $3 million escalator if he hits 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 10 touchdowns. To make a full $52 million, he has to trigger a $2 million annual incentive for being ranked in top 10 in catches, yards, and touchdowns, an annual playoff incentive of $2 million. On Mike Evans' annual playoff incentive, 65% of the offensive snaps and active for each game, $500,000 per playoff victory. There is a $6 million 2025 bonus to be paid in 2024, as well as three voidable years for salary cap purposes. The three void years are obviously going to be the biggest difference maker in what a lot of people thought was just a straightforward two-year, $26 million, 35 guaranteed. It's a little different, but it's an incentive stack deal that, again, I don't think it's going to be tough. If we're basing it off of his production in 2023, I don't think it's going to be tough for Mike Evans to hit a lot of those, if not all of those incentives in 24 and beyond.
Yes, yes. It's just a reminder that we have to do the show, right? We have to talk about the initial reporting, right? But the initial reporting on contracts are fed to these reporters by agents, and the agents want it to look better. So the actual details of the contract will come out, and I'm sure we'll get more details about Baker Mayfield's deal that will come out that makes it look like, it's a good job, but
It's also
because the initial thing is, it's 3 years, 100 million. It looks great, but 3 years, 100 million, but it's basically a 2 year deal and there's some incentives in there. And so it's always just a reminder that the agents want it to sort of look good. So they, they put lipstick on a pig sometimes.
And also just following up on the topic of quotes from agents, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle about what was actually said regarding Mike Evans' decision to not go into free agency and come back and be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer for life. Now, Mike said, he made the decision at the dinner table with his wife. They were over at his parents' house in Galveston, Texas, and she brought up the idea of staying in Tampa Bay, and that's when he knew, and that's when he had changed his mind, ultimately called his agent and said, I want to be a Buck for life. But we had reported on this podcast that Mike's agent had said that Mike is expected to hit free agency. That was true. That was a real quote from the agent to Tampa Bay Buccaneers reporters. And then 2 days later, Mike changes his mind. So there was a little bit of a rift.
There's a human element in free agency.
Right. There was a little bit of a rift just because people were very quick to call out a lot of reporters, a lot of other podcasts, a lot of beat reporters, guys like Greg Allman, Rick Stroud. A lot of people were quick to say, you guys were wrong. But you can't be wrong when it's a direct quote from the agent. It's just sometimes, like you said, that human element kicks in. And honestly, as a fan of Mike Evans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it means the world to me that human element kicks in and he realizes this is the place that not only we want to have him for the rest of his career, but he wants to play for the rest of his career. I love that, man. And I think it's just important that we get that update out there because I don't want anybody in our comments saying that we were wrong because we weren't.
We weren't. I mean, I haven't seen that. I haven't really seen our comment section. Sometimes gets a little crazy, but haven't seen that.
I'm sure the one for this show is going to be awesome. We know how much our fans love Baker.
Well, that's a true statement. But then I've never seen it such a polar. Like I said, I swear to you.
It's almost worse than Jameis.
It is worse than Jameis. I've never seen true 50-50. I mean, there is no middle. So I'm sure, the comments on this one will be entertaining to say the least. But we appreciate the comments regardless. So regardless of how you feel about it, if you hate it, if you love it, we appreciate it anyway. Shout out Ashley Evans, I guess. Shout out Ash, right? Yeah.
The catalyst for Big Mike back here in Tampa Bay. It was her idea.
Her idea. He wasn't even thinking about it. That was so far gone. But the happy wife, happy life, right? I'm sure at the end of the day, he wanted to stay in Tampa, and if he didn't, it didn't really matter what the wife says, right? If he truly didn't want to stay in Tampa, yeah, she could chime in with her opinion, but at the same time, like, she's not the one playing, right? Like, it is, they share a life together, but he wanted to be in Tampa, and that's where he is. So I did one thing, because he had the press conference, and they ever say, oh, the buck for life being buck for life. But he said in the press conference that he wants to play 4 or 5 more seasons. So obviously a 2-year deal would not be a buck for life. So obviously he says that injuries can change that. Production can change that, right? Like, if he starts to slow down a little bit, like, maybe he's like, oh, man, like, this isn't, I don't think 4 years or whatever is going to happen. Like, that could happen. But I just found that interesting that he mentioned, 4 to 5 more years potentially what he'd like to play.
Yeah, so we were talking about a little earlier different general manager hits and misses, Jason Light, Howie Roseman. We got a hot take from our buddy Tom here in the chat. Yeah, he says,
could not be more wrong. Just couldn't be more wrong.
He says Noah Spence was the worst second round pick ever.
Yeah. How's it feel to be wrong?
Oh, man. What round did the Bucks draft Roberto Aguayo?
Second round.
Oh.
They also picked Kyle Trask in the second round, too. So
who's a better draft pick, Kyle Trask or Roberto Aguayo?
Ooh. Have at it in the comment section, chat. Oh boy,
it's tough.
On one hand, Aguayo actually contributed to the team.
He did win a game.
Against the Panthers. He won the game for him by hitting the field goal. He put points on the board. On the other hand, they traded up to get him, and he only played one season with the team.
I still think to this day the argument could be made that the Bucks did the right thing drafting Kyle Trask. I know hindsight's going to be 2020,
I'm gonna choose Aguayo. Here's why. I'm gonna choose Aguayo because when the Bucks picked Kyle Trask in the second round, they were in win now mode. What are you doing drafting a backup quarterback in the second round? Like, what are you doing using a valuable resource to draft a player who you hope would never see the field as long as Tom Brady was there? So to me, it's a weird one, but I think I'd go Roberto Aguayo probably is the better draft pick. I don't, unless Baker Mayfield, it's official. Unless Baker Mayfield gets hurt, like, Kyle Trask will never start a game for this team. It's not going to happen. Like, he will never start a game for this team.
You remember when he started a half and everybody lost their minds because Baker was hurt?
Well, I know game he came in. He came in for like the first drive. Baker got hurt, threw an incompletion, and then they just ran the ball twice and kicked the field goal. But
yeah, I remember people were freaking out. I thought it was going to be Trask time during that game. That's not a debate that I had on my bingo card.
That's what you wish, you Baker hater. You wished it was trash time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I did. Go Gators, buddy. Man, that's not a debate that I had on my bingo card, but that should just about do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I want to thank everybody.
Real quick, Noah Spence was better than both of them, so it doesn't really matter. It was. And 6 sacks his rookie season. He can't help that the coaching staff wanted him to put on more weight. And then a year after he put on more weight, they told him to lose the weight. Like, stop messing with him. Like, stop messing with the kid's head.
Like, sound like his agent.
And then you were switching his positions and this and that. Like, stop it. Like, just let him be.
You sound like his agent.
Yeah, well, I might as well be. Corey Fleming also said, don't forget about Justin Evans. Evans actually wasn't a bad player.
He was a stud,
he just wasn't
dude.
Healthy. Yeah,
he was a stud. I'll never forget that one game against Miami, 2019. I think it was like week 7 or week 6 or something.
It was, well, I mean, 20, it was 2017.
Like, was it really? No, you're right. You're right. Maybe, yeah, because, maybe it was 2018 because I think it was
I don't remember. No, it was 2017 because that was the hurricane.
So they had moved it to later in the end of the season. Regardless, yeah. It was one of those games against Miami in the regular season. Justin Evans had an interception, and he laid out all the way to get that thing. I wish I could find the clip and I'd show you right now, but I don't know where it's at. I'll find it. I'll find it, and we'll circle back. I think Justin Evans still active in the NFL as well. I think he was on a team last year.
Philly. Yeah. Played Philly last year.
Hey. I like Justin Evans. I'm still a fan of Justin Evans. So
come at the start for the Baker Mayfield contract extension news. Leave at the end for the Justin Evans versus Miami Dolphins.
Stay for the Noah Spence and Justin Evans comparisons. That's what we
Noah
do.
Noah Spence
here.
Is better than Justin Evans too.
We're diving deep. All right, folks, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Thank you to everybody for hanging out with us live over on YouTube. Our buddy Al Bundy. Willie Beeman, the moderator, holding it down. Tom, Corey Fleming, Joel Elrican, thank you for the super chats. David Cardona, another moderator, holding it down. Our buddy Dub, Yeltsin, Gabe Nunn, and anybody else that I may have missed. We appreciate you guys. Find the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. Bucs have been making some moves. It's been a busy week. Do you have anything in the hopper over on at Bucs Nation?
I personally don't, but Bucs Nation staff is always basically on call, right, for whenever that news can break. So stay tuned to BucsNation.com this entire week and the following weeks for any breaking news that may happen with the Buccaneers.
Last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter at Rheticus, Rhettakus. If you follow me, I will follow you back. But that's the show. Thank you guys again. We will talk to you soon with more offseason updates about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.